For the first time in almost 6 years, Malala Yousafzai has returned to her home country of Pakistan. The 20-year-old winner of the Nobel Peace Prize is known around the world as Malala. She spent most of her life advocating for girls' rights to an education, but that's something that the Taliban, a terrorist group that operates in Afghanistan and Pakistan, has tried to prevent. They attempted to assassinate Malala in 2012, but she survived the shooting, and afterwards she continued her own education as well as her fight for children's rights worldwide. There was a lot of security when she visited Pakistan early Thursday. Some people there see her as a hero, others see her as an agitator who should be silenced. But her visit defied Taliban threats to attack her again and fulfilled her dream of touching the ground of home. There have been a whirlwind of changes on and around the Korean Peninsula since the lines of communication between North and South Korea opened back up before the Olympics. April 27th is the date when North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in are scheduled to meet at the demilitarized zone, the border between their nations. It'll be the first face-to-face meeting between Korean leaders in more than a decade, and it follows this week's surprise visit by North Korea's dictator to China. That's a nation whose relationship with North Korea has been significant, if not always harmonious.
It used to be said that the relationship between China and North Korea was as close as lips and teeth. China has always been North Korea's staunchest ally. Since Kim Jong-un's grandfather, Kim Il-sung, established the totalitarian state back in 1948. It has provided economic life support, ideological backing, and support for North Korea on the international stage. In return, communist North Korea has served Beijing as a buffer between China and South Korea, saving China from the prospect of US troops on its land border. But the relationship has been fraying since Kim Jong-un assumed power in 2011. He has repeatedly angered Beijing with nuclear bomb and ballistic missile tests that led to a dangerous, potentially military confrontation with the United States. Beijing's calls for restraint and dialogue were largely ignored by Kim. Indeed, some of North Korea's tests looked like they were deliberately provocative to Beijing. But the recent frosty relations are starting to thaw. Diplomacy is now front and center on the Korean Peninsula. The isolated Kim needs the support of Beijing and reportedly says he's ready to put denuclearization on the table. His country has been hit hard by international sanctions, and with more than 90% of North Korea's foreign trade, including its lifeblood oil, going through China, Kim needs their backing. For China, it wants to assert its role in any future negotiations on the Korean Peninsula. Beijing's bottom line remains denuclearization, but it also wants to see Kim's regime stay intact. The alternative is unthinkable, a collapsed North Korea with millions of refugees flooding into the country, or a reunified Korea with US influence stretching right up to its border. There's too much at stake for either side to walk away from each other.